Has anyone ever said to you, it's just a TV show? That's when you know it's time to cut them out of your life. If you don't think it's just a TV show, you'll probably love my podcast, She's Speaking with Emily Hanks, and it's available everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blinds. As always, it's me, Kelly Williams.
And Troy McKeaty.
And this is our final episode of 2022. And I think I can speak for Troy when I say this year has been fucking crazy.
Looking back, I can't believe that this was a single year.
Same.
What? 2022 was on one. It was wild.
And thank you guys for making this like one of the best years of my life, for sure.
Definitely the biggest year of growth, without any question. Like, I feel this year, I feel like an adult kind of for the first time.
You know, I did until I went to my friend's apartment and saw how many like plates they had. I was like, ooh, I'm almost there.
Yeah. You're like, I'm still using one spoon all year.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's still a lot. There's a lot to figure out. But I think this year I feel way more like grounded because of this podcast and because you guys have like kind of helped steer, whether you realize it or not, I guess you've helped steer our lives in like a really great direction. And it's just been so positive.
Yeah. And because of you guys, you know, I was able to move to New York and Troy and I were able to travel the country together and can't wait to do it next year.
Yeah. And we'll be better at it. We'll be even better at it. Our shows will be even better.
We will read so well.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So before this episode, Troy and I made some predictions. So my first prediction for 2023, I think there will be some sort of Kenan and Kel reboot. I don't know how, but I think those two are going to end up working together again, like pretty early into the year.
Oh, I love that. Like, what do you think? Do you think that they'll do like a sketch show?
I don't know, because I do think Kenan is kind of going to replace Lorne Michaels eventually. Mm-hmm. But him and Kel have done so many things recently. I can't see them not leaning into that.
Interesting. That would be really cool.
I hope they do.
And there's no better time than like right now. They need to strike while the like nostalgia thing is still just like so intense.
For sure.
I love that. My first prediction is that there's going to be another, and I'm wondering if it will be, I'm wondering if it'll be Hillsong, but I think that there's going to be, like, we're due for another church documentary moment. Like, usually we'll have like a whole year of like a church takedown being like a big deal, whether it's Scientology or NXIVM or whatever. And I feel like Hillsong is due for its moment. Like, this cannot remain a blind item. That church is way too powerful and way too in our faces for people to not have any interest in all the crazy shit that's going on there, you know?
That's a good one. I hope that one's true.
Me too.
My next one is Justin Bieber will quote unquote retire.
Mm.
I think he's going to say he's taking a step back to start a family. No more touring, and maybe have an album later. But I think Justin Bieber's kind of like over that, which we've talked about a few times.
I've been waiting for him to transition into doing something else. Like, I've been waiting years to see if he would like it's shocking to me that he doesn't act. Don't you think that's weird?
I think he tried and people gave him so much trouble, but I see him more as like a producer, like a background kind of person.
Yeah.
And taking a step back from like performing.
Yeah. And he is very, like, he strikes me as a very visual person.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that. That'd be cool. I'm rooting for him.
I go back and forth with Justin all the time.
I know. At the end of the day, we just want what's best.
We just want him healthy.
My next prediction is that Diddy is going to get canceled.
Ooh, okay.
I think Diddy's time is coming.
His bodyguard has been really outspoken lately on TikTok.
I know. And when I look at the comments of those videos, I actually was going to post one last night, but I was like, I'll wait, because it was like literally last night for me is 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, nobody's awake. But I saw in like a recent one that he posted where he was like, the Ja Rule story that's like kind of gone viral. And the comments, I was like, oh, people are like ready for Diddy. Like, people generally know this stuff about Diddy. They just don't talk about it. And I feel like people are ready to start finally talking about it, because he used to be able to bully people and blackball people into not talking about his shit. But I don't think that he has that kind of like that same power that he had in the 90s, you know?
For sure. And I think with Blind Items, people are kind of side eyeing him a lot more.
100,000%. Like, he's such a blind item girl.
Now, this one's insane.
Okay.
I think Demi Lovato is going to start a family.
Oh, really? Okay.
No idea why. It just feels right.
Do you think that Demi will just randomly pop up and be like, guess what? I have a baby.
I think Demi will be like, I'm pregnant and starting a family and I can't wait to be a mom.
Cool. I would really love that.
I think it would be great for her.
Yeah. Well, my next one is just me putting something into the universe that I want.
Okay.
Sometimes when we do that, the shit works. Ashley Simpson is going to make a pop punk return. Okay. We're going to put it into the ether. Ashley Simpson is going to collaborate on music with fucking Demi or Willow or Olivia, one of these people who has truly stolen her sound. She's going to collaborate with somebody on something. Even if it's just a single, that's a big get.
I like that.
I hope it's true. I hope that being on stage with Demi gave her the bug, and now she like has to do something.
The people love you, Ashley.
We do.
Now, we wrote these last week, and I said Phoebe Bridgers and Paul, whatever his last name is, were going to break up, and it was just announced they broke up today. So I will skip to my, I have two left.
Okay.
One being Harry Styles will be spotted kissing a man next year.
Oh, where will they catch us?
At Domino Park.
Like rolling in the dog pee.
And then my final one is Amber Riley will finally have her moment. So maybe that's me putting something into the universe the way you did for Ashley.
I love that. I want Amber to have a moment. A real moment, not like a moment in quotes.
Right. Know? Yeah, I think she deserves like a big blockbuster musical type of thing. Or even Broadway, but Amber Riley, I'm rooting for you so hard.
Wow, I really, really hope that that's true. Her voice not only is she like insanely talented, she's also so magnetic and so funny. Like, even if she doesn't do something music-wise, like she could do the J-Hud thing and like host, like
yeah.
She could host a show. She could host a podcast. Like, she is the moment.
Honestly. I agree with you. I hope. She was been on TikTok a lot, doing a lot of interviews. So I try and look like TikTok trends is what could happen in 2023, I guess.
Well, this was my last one. I only have one left.
Perfect.
My last one is that Keke Palmer will win like a big award because it's time.
I like that one.
It's time. Keke Palmer is not just a comedic actress. I feel like she was so great in Nope. And I think maybe we'll see her do something like extremely dramatic. Because everything she does kind of has like a comedic twist, but I think it would be cool to see her do something like dramatic, like really dramatic, like some Angela Bassett shit, you know?
I was kind of thinking for her, I could see her taking over like James Corden or something, like a late night host, but I do think she's so talented. Like, she should stay. She could do anything though.
That's the thing. She could sing, host. She's beautiful. She could do anything, but I really hope, I know that she had a big year, like she had a really big year, but I hope that she has like a big actor-y year, you know?
Yeah. So those are our predictions, guys. We will make a little bingo card and put it on Instagram, and we'll see if we open Hell's Mouth again for next year. Now, getting into pop culture, Troy, we got to talk Britney. I don't know if you're sick of talking about Britney, but I don't think we care.
Okay, I have new Britney thoughts, Britney theories. So I feel like, and this is only where I am right now, obviously it changes every like 10 minutes, right? But I've been doing a lot of digging and looking and things, and I kind of feel like there's a possibility that Britney has like run away.
Like from Sam and everybody?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen like maybe one or two other people on TikTok agree with this. I haven't seen this theory a ton, but it just checks out to me. Like, what if she just wants to get the fuck away? And like the big thing that nobody wants to say is where the fuck she is, because she doesn't want to be found. And I feel like it would explain the weirdness of her social media and like the weird posts that are like people thinking that she's like a clone and shit. It's like, what if it's just that they're trying to cover their tracks because she's gone, and Sam can't say she ran away from me if that was the case.
That's crazy.
That's just where I am at the moment. And like, yeah. if she's being spotted, like they lied about her going to New York and stuff. And it's like, what would be the worst thing that somebody could expose about her that has nothing to do with health, that has nothing to do with addiction, that has nothing to do with her being in danger? The worst thing that you could do to her right now, the thing that would like hurt her if it got out to the public, her location.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like she's, I mean, and also to add to that, what if the people that everybody thinks is so shady, like Madonna and Paris and all, what if they like know where she is?
It's so insane that whatever's going on with Britney, we're never going to really know. Ever.
I know.
It's sad.
It's extremely sad. She's always going to have like a Marilyn Monroe kind of thing surrounding her, like a mysteriousness, you know? And like, even up to the point that, knock on wood, poi, you know, if anything ever happened to her, you know, it's going to be some weird fucking mysterious questions never answered. Who done it? Like
theories,
conspiracies, you know, she's like, she's my little human Rubik's Cube. I say it all the time. But yeah, that's the theory that I'm working through. I would love to know people's thoughts if I sound psychotic. But there is a part of me that thinks that she's just hiding and those girls like know where she is. And I saw on TikTok that like Paris, somebody, the other person that I saw make this point was like, listen, Paris like openly bought a deepfake company this year. Or whatever. Like, she owns a deep fake company because she's been doing that Tom Cruise thing as like a gag on her TikTok with that like deep fake Tom Cruise. Like, what if Paris is just like helping do shitty videos where they're trying to hide her? What if she's trying to hide from us and we're all so fucking psycho that we're like helping the people that she's running from find her?
Wow. I need to like take this in. This is.
Yeah, I know.
Especially hearing you talk about Paris this way, because I've heard you talk about her in so many other ways, but you really do think she's like trying to help Brit out?
I think that there's a possibility. I think, you know, of all the theories that, and that is the one theory that did not make the rounds. Like when Perez said, like, this is one that nobody's talked about. Nobody brought up the fact that Britney could have just run away at all, you know? And if all this stuff that people have found is true about Sam being shady and all this stuff, maybe she just ran the fuck away. Maybe she had this planned, you know, like, and she did try to run away before. Like that thing with her running out of gas on the street was fucking weird. And it was weird that they gave her a police escort home. Like, instead of helping her get gas.
Yeah.
Because
you think Sam's a part of like Team Khan and all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Sam is a plant. I've always thought that he was a plant for Lou. I think that he was promised a Dwayne Johnson career because she's the career maker. She can do any. I mean, Lou is so powerful. And I don't think people really have an understanding of how connected Lou is and like when it comes to Britney's conservatorship, it's like so many people in Hollywood are involved in it. And I don't know, like when people talk about like celebrities, like their silence being deafening, like certain people not speaking up, it's like, because they're all connected to Lou Taylor. So yeah, I think that Sam is there for Lou. I think that him being there has always been weird and shady. The fact that he was like approved by the conservatorship to date her and then transitioned into her post-conservatorship life. It's weird. He's weird. He's weird. I'm sorry. He's a fucking weirdo. You can't like, you cannot tell me that that man is like true, that this is the love of his life. He is a robot.
I think one of the craziest stories I heard, Jared Lips, he's on Instagram. He hangs out with like Vanderpump Rules people and does their makeup. And he was a big part of being at the courthouse for Free Britney. So he met Sam, I want to say somewhere in West Hollywood. And he went up to Sam and was like so friendly. And he mentioned something like, thank you for taking care of our girl. You know, just something like that. And then Sam was on the cover of I want to say Men's Health or Esquire, one of those. Yes.
Men's Health.
And Jared congratulated him on the cover. And Sam goes, I have a whole bunch in the trunk. If you want to grab one, I'll sign it for you. So Sam, his Land Rover, whatever fucking car, Range Rover, was unlocked. And Jared like went in, got a magazine, brought it back to Sam. Sam signed it. I thought that was so insane. And so did Jared. Like Jared was like, what is happening?
That is wild.
Yeah.
He was keeping, not him pulling out his mixtape. He said, my son SoundCloud, do you have a piece of paper? I can write down my link. I'm like kind of mortified. That man, listen, you cannot convince me. A suitcase of money could not convince me that he doesn't want to be an action star. Mm-hmm. He wants to be The Rock. And like, he's so desperate for fame. His sister is really desperate for fame. And I know that I talked about this the last time we talked about Britney, but Sam is directly tied to Lou. You can look it up. He, through Lady Gaga's manager, Bobby, who he is dear friends with, he is friends with Lou. And they've been friends. And I think that Lou helped him come up with the story of how he and Britney started dating. And it's changed a couple times over the years. He can't even keep it straight. So I don't trust him. And I think Britney is on the run, as Beyonce would say.
I guess we'll see, but I like trust whatever you say about Britney, if I'm being completely honest. You're my Britney Wikipedia.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, of course, the Meg and Tory Lanez court case is going on. And I just want people to know it's the city of LA against Tory Lanez, not Meg.
Mm-hmm.
So this, like, they're prosecuting him. She's not on trial.
Right.
But it is so crazy to read updates from that. Even Meg's bodyguard is missing.
Yeah.
Tory Lanez, I hope you rot. That's all I can say. And honestly, rot, like 50 Cent, you can fucking rot. Drake, you can rot. Everyone who's speaking out against this woman who was shot.
You know when something is like so shocking that like it almost doesn't feel real?
Yeah.
That's what that is to me. Like, it's such a like a slap in the face. It's such a like a clear indicator of the way that we view Black women in this country and like what Black women deserve. And like, it's just, it is insane. Like, it is insane when you replace her with any other white artist. If Taylor Swift got shot by someone.
Could you imagine?
My God. Like, oh my God. You can't even like say anything about Taylor Swift without her fans sending you literal death threats. Imagine if she got shot by someone. Imagine if Selena Gomez got shot by a man.
Like, by another person in the business too.
Right.
If that would be like if Justin Bieber.
If he shot her and then we all made fun of her. That it's like, it's mind blowing to me.
It's so sick. I've been saying that to like since the beginning. It's just, it's so gross. And it's so gross that these men are just calling her a liar.
Mm-hmm.
No, she was shot. There's video like of blood dripping out of her foot.
And it's sad that people have had to like come out to support her. Like that all these other women have had to be like, I support her. What the fuck? Why do we even need, I mean, that's amazing, but like, why are we even needing to do this right now? Like, are you kidding? We're debating this right now? Like, what?
Also, who the fuck is Tory Lanez?
Like, are you, like, I hate how much I've even had to say his name. Yeah. Who are you, young man? I don't give a fuck about you. Oh, makes me so mad.
Other people you don't give a fuck about, Meghan and Harry came out with their second part of their documentary.
Zipping my lips.
And I will say, guys, we do a happy hour for our $10 a month subscribers. And it finally, I was able to admit I am a royals person. So I watched it. And there's one scene where we find out that the press person for William leaked information to the Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. And Megan goes, she goes, that's your brother. I'm not going to say anything because that is your brother. And all I could think of was Troy smiling because I know he would love just that one moment.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I love that.
But yeah, I mean, I think Harry and Meghan, people are like, well, they wanted privacy, privacy, privacy. I'm like, they wanted independence of their life and safety. I don't think privacy had that much to do with it.
Yeah.
And when Harry keeps repeating, you know, I saw what happened to my mother. I saw what happened to my mother. And over, I think we should listen.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. I subscribe to the fact that I think the royal family killed Princess Di.
1,000%.
So, you know, I think it's, we believe Harry. Do I know if him and Meghan will last forever? No, but whatever. I like the documentary.
Them killing her is almost like a OJ thing. It's like, we all know that you did that and you know that we know. And like, that's wild. You got away with literal murder.
Yeah, absolutely.
We see you, girl. We see mm-hmm. you. Okay, so one thing I also wanted to talk about is my current obsession with a little TLC show, the show that has come in and out of my life throughout the years, Sister Wives. I know that our listeners love Sister Wives, and we always get requests to do Sister Wives blind item episodes, but I don't think that they're famous enough to have blind items.
They're also so messy in public.
Yeah, like, I don't think that people need to anonymously write about, like, Mary.
Janelle.
And that's, like, actually kind of crazy because the teen moms are famous enough to have blind items, but not, like, you know, Christine and Robin. But that being said, this is the craziest season of Sister Wives in history. So for anybody who doesn't know, or if you're, like, even just a little bit familiar with the show, they've always presented their family as this like perfect, like polygamous unit and like they figured it all out and whatever. And like, there's been like, if you read between the lines, you can figure out like who gets along and who doesn't. And like throughout the years, we've like figured that stuff out. But this season, the dam has broken, all hell is broken loose, and the family is like exposing itself. So one of the wives, Christine, has officially left Cody and she left the religion. Which is crazy. So now they all, of course, believe that she's going to go, like, she's going to eternally burn in hell. And another wife, Janelle, is, like, in the process of leaving Cody, I believe. I think they may be separated as we record this.
And she's the oldest one, I believe. Like, the first wife, right?
Well, Mary is the first wife.
Oh, okay.
Janelle is the second wife. And it's just interesting because, like, they all have been pretending for years that Robin isn't the problem, even though they fucking hate her. And now they like don't care enough about Cody to like keep the secret anymore. So they're all turning on, as the internet refers to her, sobbing Robin. And now it's like crazy. It's crazy to watch. And the kids are turning on Cody. All of his teenagers are like done with him. I am so emotionally invested in this show. I can't even put it into words. Like, it's all I think about all fucking day. All day. And I don't know if any of you care about this, but Gwendolyn, Christine's daughter, has a Patreon now. And she's doing Q&As about her family and the why and her moms.
Just did you join out. It?
I did. I did. I joined it last night.
How is it?
It's great. She does watch alongs for the episode and gives her perspective. And then she does like a Q&A about like whatever people want to know. and she's cool. She's like, she just came out as bisexual and she's just cool. She just got engaged to her partner. This is like my, you know, people get weird with TLC shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm weird with this right now.
That's okay. You support it. And I do have to give a shout out to Cara Berry. Everyone's business but mine. She is also very much on top of the Sister Wives drama. Yeah,
Cara. Cara loves Sister Wives too. Her posts about it kill me.
Now, the last thing I think for pop culture for this week, I'm kind of over the nepotism like hunt that's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lily Rose Depp came out and she's like, it was actually harder for me. And I'm kind of like, shut up. Like,
right.
You were born into it. It's not as hard.
Right.
But like the nepotism babies who just kind of work, I don't really have many opinions about them. Do you? What do you think of the whole debate?
I mean, I think it's a crazy thing to be debating because like Hollywood has always been nepotism babies. Mm-hmm. Like all of the older stars that we love are children of stars. Like right. Angelina Jolie's dad is a star. Like Gwyneth Paltrow's mom was a movie star. Like, I don't really get it, to be honest. Like, I don't know if maybe people don't realize that or if they think that this is like the first year of nepotism babies or something, but like, that's what Hollywood's built on. Jamie Lee Curtis is the daughter of a star. Like, that's Hollywood, baby.
I wonder if it's because the new nepotism babies aren't as talented as the others, or that's what we think.
Yeah, like how we perceive them is that they can be lazy and, you know, they can be like influencers and become famous instead of, I guess, becoming like actors and becoming famous. But I don't know. I don't really get it.
Neither do I. And I have to say, I think my favorite is Kate Hudson. I've been in like a Kate Hudson mood lately. I watched her on Hot Ones. Ooh. She's so charming.
Yeah. Straight crush.
Yeah. I like Tracee Ellis Ross a lot, too.
Yeah, another. She's on my queens list.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is your favorite Drew Barrymore?
Number one on the queens list?
No, for nepotism babies.
Oh. I don't know. It's hard to pick a favorite. There's so many.
I know. That's true.
So it's like, it's hard to pick a favorite, you know? I don't know. I don't know if I could pick one. I love them all.
And they deserve all the success in the world.
Exactly. They work so much harder.
Okay, so now, guys, this episode's going to be a little bit different because we're going to be chatting about Saturday Night Live. There's some articles that we pulled, some blinds, but I also think it's just a fun show to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I guess everything from here on out is alleged, even though opinions will be mixed in. But Troy, I need to know your favorite cast members.
Well, I was thinking about this because I knew that we would talk about it. I was trying to figure out, like, what is my favorite, like, generation of SNL? And I have to say, even though it's, like, kind of cliche, I really love, like, the Kristen Wiig years. Like, that cast of women. Because that was, like, a solid group of funny women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing I love more than a funny gal. So, like, you know, the Kristen, Amy, Maya, like those years where they were like all Rachel, they were all on the show together. Like that felt like a dream. I can't even believe that that was real.
Yeah.
What about you?
My favorite ever is Molly Shannon. I think Molly Shannon is so underrated too.
Yeah.
I love Molly Shannon.
She's so special.
Yeah, and her book's really good. If you guys get a chance to read it or audio it, it's mm-hmm. so good. She's been through so much. But I do think my favorite sketch is Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer is iconic. Like, it's like unreal how funny Debbie Downer is. And Rachel Dratch, I remember one time Amy Poehler, or maybe it was Tina Fey. I think it was Tina Fey. She said it in her book that Rachel Dratch has the most expressive face in Hollywood, and she said that Rachel Dratch reminds her of like a silent film star because she can just like do anything with her eyes and be funny with her eyes. And it's so true. Like Rachel Dratch just looking into the camera is like the funniest thing ever. She's so good.
So I guess for me, when it comes to like a favorite male on the show, I think I dislike the guys just because I know it's such a boys club. So it's like kind of hard for me to really rally for them. But Bill Hader to me was really, really fucking funny.
Bill Hader is like the one.
Yeah.
And Bill Hader always felt really supportive of like female talent.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to some of the guys where you could feel that energy of like, I don't know, like that Jason Sudeikis kind of vibe.
Remember, Jason is not Ted Lasso, our good people.
Yeah, I know you guys love your Jason Sudeikis. I don't know why. Not my fave.
So I was super lucky. My friend got tickets to go to Kiki Palmer's rehearsal, dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And seeing SNL like live was so insane. Yeah. They had five different stages. And we were seated like in the upper section, not on the floor. So five different stages, TVs everywhere. So even if you couldn't see the stage, you could still watch it. And I didn't realize they do a full dress rehearsal. It's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
And that they do extra sketches because they cut out the sketches that didn't make the audience laugh. So the show we saw is different than the live show. They have a whole new audience in. But just seeing the production was so crazy.
I always think about how weird it would be. Wait, so you went to the rehearsal show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always think about. Like, because the rehearsal, I feel like, is more like loose. And you get to like see things happen. Things, you know?
I don't really know if there were things. It was actually like pretty professional.
Okay.
Like there were definitely some skits where no one was laughing.
Okay.
But it was basically Michael Che came out and did a stand-up warm-up. And he's funny. He doesn't really like crack me up, but he was funny enough. And then Keenan ran out in a full like purple sparkly suit and started singing and saying like, it almost, I don't know what song it was. It felt like a James Brown song, like scream singing. And then three of the actresses or comedians, I'm sorry, were behind him doing backup vocals.
Okay.
It was just, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
That is wild.
It was really cool though.
That's like a bucket list thing.
So what you guys have to do in August, if you want to try and win tickets, is August 1st, email. There's some SNL ticket email. And you just put in a request. And you tell them what dates you want to go, what dates you're available. And you might be picked.
You know, that's low-key. You know this about me, but that's like my favorite way to like plan a trip.
Yeah.
I love planning a trip around free tickets to like a show because all of the shows are free. Like the Today Show, any talk show, any late night show, they're all game shows, the tapings of reality show reunions. Those are free. So, you know, if you like put in the dates that you're going to be in whatever city, you can just plan your trip around a free show. And that's always been my dream to go to a taping of SNL.
And for those live shows, guys, the website's called One Iota. That's where you get free. Is that where you got your free tickets for Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just go through the whole list of whatever, because you can pick it by city. So you can be like, I'll be in LA, and then you see all the shows that film in LA, and then you can apply to like go to all of them if you want. You can go see Rachel Ray Cook if you want.
I want to go to Ryan and Kelly next year.
I would love to go to Ryan. I would actually really love to go to Rachel Ray. I wasn't even joking. So I've never been to a taping of SNL, but my best friend, Katie, her brother is a camera person for NBC. Mm-hmm. So he just like works on like random shows like Morning Joe and whatever. And he worked on SNL. So he like gave us like a little studio private tour thing once. So we were like walking around. This is so funny. And, you know, Jimmy Fallon was like, obviously it's 30 Rock. So they were like about to record Jimmy Fallon when we were there. And as we were walking through the hallway, this person walked through with three like llamas because Jimmy was using them for a sketch. I was like, are those llamas? Like, what is going on? And then we went up to, this is so topical, actually. We went up to go see the 30 Rock stage and Alec Baldwin's show had just gotten canceled. Mm. Remember he had that talk show?
I didn't know about Alec Baldwin's talk show.
He had a talk show for like a month and then it got canceled because he did something bad. I don't remember which thing it was.
There's so many.
Yeah, it was one of the times that Alec got canceled. and they were just tearing down his set. And I heard this NBC page. He literally sounded like Kenneth from 30 Rock. And he was like, this is the former set of Alec Baldwin's talk show. The show has been canceled, so we can move on to this way. And it was like in the dark corner. They had sheets over all of this stuff. I was like, holy shit.
They keep it moving.
They do.
This episode is sponsored by Factor. With the bustling holiday season well underway, ready-to-eat meal delivery can lend a helping hand. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers to your door so you can enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals during the holidays, minus the hassle. Plus, with 34 meals per week, including Gourmet Plus, Keto, Calorie Smart, Vegan and Veggie, and 36 weekly add-ons, you'll have plenty of nutritious, flavorful options to choose from.
The holidays are already insane, fully jam-packed, and luckily Factor's fresh, never frozen meals make it easy to fuel up fast when I'm on the go. And I save time with meals delivered ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes.
Factor now offers 34 meals per week and 36 plus add-on options like smoothies, juices, snacks, and more to keep me going no matter what I have going on.
Factor is also cheaper than dining out and takeout. So you get to put money towards saving for holiday fun, vacations, gifts, you time. And thanks to Factor's commitment to ingredients and integrity, you can enjoy flavorful chef-crafted meals guilt-free, like their creamy Parmesan chicken and three bean vegan chili.
And side note, I have tried other prep meals. This is the best one I've ever tried. And I truly mean that. So if you need a special occasion meal, Gourmet Plus is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easy.
When things get hectic during the holiday season, Factor is also flexible. You can change your order up every week with plans from 4 to 18 meals per week, and you can pause or reschedule the deliveries whenever you want.
Stress less over mealtime this holiday season. Factor's no prep, no mess meals free up time otherwise spent shopping, cooking, and doing cleanup, so you can fully enjoy the holidays without wasting hours in the kitchen.
Not only does Factor offer fast, simple solutions when I'm too busy to cook, they also help me stay on top of my goals. With offerings like Protein Plus and Keto, I can stay on track, and this is definitely going to come in handy during the holidays.
Factor has everything I need for a week of flavorful, nutritious eats. In addition to ready-to-eat meals, they have cold-pressed juices, smoothies, energy bites, extra protein, veggie size, and more to keep me energized during frantic holiday times.
Head to go.factor75.com/blinds60 and use code blinds60 to get 60% off your first box.
That's code blinds60 at go.factor75.com/blinds60 to get 60% off of your first box. All right, so I found some random gossip from ranker.com. And this one I found really interesting. I don't know if you knew this, Troy, but Martin Lawrence was banned from ever returning to Saturday Night Live after his first outing as host in 1994 went terrible in the eyes of Lorne Michaels and NBC.
Know that? Damn, Martin had a tough 90s. There were highs and there were lows. My Lord. Also, can we just talk about Lorne Michaels for a second?
Yeah, because when I saw him, I was kind of like, I feel like you're evil. Like, I was excited to see Lorne Michaels, and then I remembered who he is.
Yes. Did you ever watch 30 Rock?
I didn't, no.
So Alec Baldwin's character on 30 Rock is, like, loosely in quotes based on Lorne Michaels. But, like, you can tell that it's just a full-on parody of Lorne Michaels. And, like, his whole identity is that he's, like, this money-hungry, very, like, corrupt, like, very conservative, right-wing asshole. Like, that's how he's written in the show. I feel like Lorne is definitely evil. And I also just question, like, I know that we're all really excited and happy that, like, SNL is so diverse now. But, like, his white-knuckling it to make it not diverse for as long as he possibly could is wild to me. Like, you literally, for 30 years, we're just like, no Black people, maybe one or two every once in a while. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Even like just having like women writing anything that's not a straight white male.
Yeah. Like, you can definitely tell what Lauren thinks is funny. And then this is also from Ranker.com. It says Chevy Chase notoriously and abruptly left the show only 6 episodes into the second season. Bill Murray was called up to replace him. And when Chase returned to host, the first cast member to do so, he was a nightmare, according to a few of his former cast members, refusing to work with Jane Curtin on Weekend Update, shooting down script ideas, and other general jerk behavior. We had to talk about Chevy Chase.
So apparently Bill Murray had enough of Chase's antics and confronted him about an hour before the live show. Chase later stormed into Belushi's dressing room where Murray had gone to challenge him for a fist fight.
SNL is a frat house where it just so happens to be on TV.
Especially in what, the 70s? That must have been fucking insane.
And they already have to stay up for like two or three straight days. Like the amount of drugs in that building.
Allegedly.
Oh. Chevy Chase is a fucking psychopath. Like, what is wrong with him?
I don't know. And it's weird how people love him so much still.
Even after Community. Like, even after, like, that was so public and it was so recent. And the stuff that he did on that show and the way he treated people was so horrendous. It must be nice to be an old, middle-aged white guy. It must be nice. You just do anything you want.
Do you think people like really pay attention though, honestly? Or do they just see him as the dad from Christmas Vacation?
I think that he is somebody that you're like, you feel like, especially as a comic, like you're supposed to respect him, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like old. So it's like, you think like the assumption is that you would like respect him. It's just nuts.
He's old. So this is also from Ranker.com. Belushi's widow said he changed his mind later. But during his run on SNL, he refused to do any of the sketches written by the women writers. He was equally unimpressed with the other women cast members. Interesting, as Gilda Radner lobbied hard to get him on SNL. Gilda Radner was a special one.
She is special. She's extremely special. Also, fuck Belushi. Sorry. Sorry.
Now we said it.
Now we said it. Sorry, straights. I know I've offended the poster in your fucking college dorm, but like, ugh, like what a dick.
And then there was like a really big Reddit thread. It was an AMA that talked about, you know how you can never like confirm those AMAs though? They're always kind of, is it real? Is it not? Basically, this person worked on one season. And my big takeaway was it was when Miley Cyrus was first hosting SNL for the first time. And the person writing about it, she was either a producer or an intern or something. I can't remember. And she was like, Miley Cyrus was really insecure. And that was kind of annoying. I'm like, she was like 17. And then she also said Linkin Park was like the nicest guest that they had, musical guests.
Miley was insecure. I wonder why, as a child hosting SNL.
Right. And then I also found out that during the filming of Night at the Roxbury, Chris Kattan had an affair with a producer and Will Ferrell was deeply offended and no longer considered Chris a friend, only to find out that Kattan later said Lorne Michael urged him to have sex with Amy Heckerling because she wanted to fuck him. And Lorne thought that would get the project off the ground. Did you know about that?
I did know about that. Only because I randomly one day was reading about how Chris Kattan had this like really dark, sad life and like nobody knew. And I didn't know that. Like I was always just like, what happened to fucking Chris Kattan? Like he was so funny and so talented, you know?
So silly. I loved how like he could be the monkey guy.
Yes. And he was such a big part of art. Like if you were a 90s or early 2000s kid, watching SNL, like Chris Kattan was the moment. He was everything. And I was reading about how, also I was just like reading about how toxic Lorne is and how he would do shit like that, allegedly, like have cast members sleep with people and, you know, like CEO shit, like the kind of shit that male powerhouse men do. It's like pimping out even his male cast members to random women. So that things can happen.
It makes me sad thinking Keenan could potentially take over that role. And I'm like, but I don't want Keenan to be that.
There's something, though, about being a really, really rich white guy that is just like, I don't know if any of us, you like, there's something demented and dark there that, like, I don't think Keenan could ever fully get there.
Hope so.
Not to Lauren level. And then this is a 2011 piece from The New Yorker from Tina Fey. It says, in a New Yorker piece, Fey revealed this horror in her usual style. The bathroom, I should point out, was about as far away as you are from this magazine. I started to feel as if I were from space. Once she knew this was the thing at SNL, she began to see a pattern. There were cups everywhere. Next, she made up even more horrifying discovery. In weekend update offices, which were like the smarter but meaner older brother of the regular writer's offices, there weren't any cups. There was a jar. It was a jar of piss with a lid on it. And judging by its consistency, I suspect that the writers sometimes spat into it. I'm going to throw up. Or that one of them was terribly ill. You could see, oh my God, I feel like my mouth's watering. You could see it when you come in the door, backlit by the afternoon sun. And at first, I thought it was a test. If you saw the piss jar and dared to ignore it and continued into the room, you were welcomed. Welcomed is too strong a word. You were one of the guys? Nope. You know what? I'm just projecting. It couldn't have been a test because you really didn't give a fuck whether you just came into that room or not. I don't even know what to say. I actually don't even have words.
How disgusting.
So she's saying, like, if you were cool with it, then you passed the test. Is that what she means?
I believe so.
Oh my God. Are men okay?
And just breaking news, I guess, from Pop Crave, Tory Lanez has decided to not testify in his trial for allegedly shooting Meg Thee Stallion. Of course he's not going to fucking testify.
Wow, shocker.
So we're going to jump to 2012, and this is a blind item. This actor had a sweet gig that lasted longer than usual. Good pay, the ability to work with top names, lots of creative freedom, plus time to do other projects on the side. Overall, it was a sweet gig. So what did he do? He quit. A couple of flops later, though, and he's panicking. He's now begging for his old job back. What a dick. And that's Andy Samberg, and he always fucking bothered me.
Andy always seemed like a dick. I really, really wanted to fuck him, though. I can't express to you how, like, I always say I don't have a type, but when it comes to a man that looks like Andy Samberg, that nose, oh my God, those teeth. I love me some Andy Samberg, unfortunately.
So now we're in 2013, and this is another just note from Ranker.com, which is interesting. When Jason Sudeikis left SNL in 2013, he faded into the night like a weary ghost. Sudeikis didn't make it a secret that he wanted to leave, and the cast and crew were truly shocked when he simply faded into the background and didn't have a goodbye sketch. So usually, yeah, like even with Cecily Strong, who's another one of my favorites, I need to put her on my list. Yes. She's one I'm like, am I attracted to her or what is like?
I want
to
be you. Yeah.
It's all of it, I think. But there was no goodbye special for him at all because the cast fucking hated Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? I couldn't. I don't think I hate anyone as much as him.
That's so funny.
I know. It's like so weird.
He just wasn't funny to me at all. His like judge thing where he's like, I'm the judge in Louisiana.
Yo, my God. And he always, I just have a problem with somebody who always plays the straight guy. Like, he's always the one judging the silly person.
Yes.
Like, it's like, you're annoying. Why are you always playing the one that's like, I'm gonna stop myself because I'll go off.
No, do it.
This actress is A-list, definite. Not a question about it. And she is A-plus name recognition, mostly television. She's a little goofy, no question about that. When someone has stars in the ceiling of her bedroom because she likes to see them light up in her room at her age, you have to wonder if she had the chance to ever fully embrace adulthood. She may try to act innocent or give the impression that she has not messed around with the entire crew, but she has. Guys who think that they would not stand a chance with the actress get her phone number. They can text her and call her and flirt with her. And if you make her laugh, well, then you have a pretty good chance of getting to sleep with her. She likes to have a contest of sorts on the shows that she's worked on, and also garnered a serious flirt and play reputation once when she guest starred on this longtime hit network show. The entire cast of men on the show got 1 week to flirt with her and do their best to get her attention. But when that end of the week party happened, there was only one guy who got to take her back to her hotel. Looking at him, you would think to yourself that the B-list actress slash celebrity slash comedian that she had picked was kind of an odd choice. But again, it goes back to making her laugh. They dated all of one night. She is not known for her long-term relationships. That is Jennifer Love Hewitt and Chris Kattan. Wow. Okay. All right.
So now we're jumping into 2014, and I learned of this feud and was immediately obsessed, okay? This former almost A-plus list, mostly television actress who went from late nights to movies to primetime now does a little bit of everything. What she and her best friend don't do, though, is talk to this A-plus list, mostly movie actor who started in roughly the same spot as his frequent co-stars. There's definitely a war between two sides, and you have to clearly come down on one side or the other if you are from their group. So that's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler having a feud with Adam Sandler.
That's interesting.
So one thing about me is I'm an Adam Sandler girl. I grew up watching all of his movies. Do I think he has the best movies ever? No. Will I laugh through Waterboy? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I was shocked by that because I've always heard Adam was like a good guy.
Right.
And it doesn't say he's not a good guy. It just says there's a feud.
It's just interesting because it's like, I would picture anybody that feuds with Tina is also feuding with Amy. True. Like, that's just how I always pictured it in my head. So it's just funny that that's kind of like confirmed. There was some very interesting after party action going on in a major American city this past weekend. An older actress was making her move on a younger male musician, stroking his face and whispering in his ear. When he rejected her advances, she simply proceeded on to another member from the same group. By the way, it didn't seem that she was looking for a boyfriend. Just a one-night fling. Our spy left the party before 3 a.m., so we didn't know if the actress succeeded or not. However, given that at least one of the boys she was hitting on is gay, we don't know if she ever really had a chance. That's funny. So that's Kristen Wiig, and she was hitting on Harry Styles. That's hilarious.
Now we're in 2016. The second this former tweener turned B-plus list singer got off stage at a recent television appearance, she and her assistant went behind a screen, and our singer did several quick lines of coke. And allegedly, that is when Selena was hosting Saturday Night Live.
Wow. Don't do drugs in the office. Back in the day, you could do anything in these offices. But now, this long-running television show has very strict rules. You break them and you are fired, as one actor on the show recently discovered. And that's John Rudinsky getting fired. Oh, I remember him. Yeah, wow. You know, it's weird when people show up and then they just disappear. Like, and then you forget. Yeah, he's like really cute. Huh.
This B-plus list, mostly movie actor who all of you know, had a hooker on standby all week behind the scenes of this show. Whenever he had a break, he'd hook up with her. And that's when good old Casey Affleck was hosting SNL. Casey Affleck would probably be like a James Franco episode, honestly.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
And anyone who doesn't know, we do have a James Franco episode on Patreon. It's one that Troy and I had to like fully shower after. Not together, of course, not together.
We're now in 2019. The return last night would never have been possible during the reign of this actress slash writer slash producer who starred on the same show forever. She made slash makes you choose sides as to whether you were against the actor or with the actor. If you were slash are with him, you were slash are shunned. Wow. And that's Adam Sandler and Tina Fey. That's so interesting. I would love to know more about that.
There's a buzz that if this late night show doesn't get their ratings up, that this season could be its last. After so many years, I thought it would be ratings proof, but apparently not. Last season hit some all-time series lows, and the unthinkable is starting to become thinkable. And I guess the start of 2019, I mean, their SNL's ratings aren't great.
Ever.
Ever. And they don't even, it's not even on Hulu anymore. That's where I feel like a lot of people watched it. I think it got moved to Peacock.
Yeah, to me, it's just one of those shows that's like, it's an institution. It just, like, it's like The Simpsons. Like, I don't think many people are watching The Simpsons, but like, it's just on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and like enough people watch that it'll probably, I don't know. I don't think SNL will ever, I feel like they always say that, like, this is the year. You never, like, SNL could get canceled. They always say that in blind items, but I don't think it's true.
And almost every episode has at least one viral moment.
Yeah. And like, that's, that show is so, like, people are fickle when they watch that show. It's like, depending on who's on it or like the cast at the time, like if it's a great cast, they get more ratings. You know what
it's
I mean?
Like, honestly, it's almost like our show. When we cover someone doesn't know, we don't get as many listens.
Yeah. Like, why would you tune in to watch somebody that you don't care about? You know, doing your drugs in the set of a television show is one thing. Full on looking for a vein in your dressing room to use your drugs is another. This late night actor needs rehab. And that, of course, is Pete Davidson.
And the following line is also about Pete. This late night actor slash comic who became much more famous than he should have last year is back to using again. And I always wonder why Lorne was like so protective of him. Like, did he care or did he just know Pete brought ratings?
Yeah, I don't know. He must have cared because Pete is not enough of like a grounding force on that show. Like, you can tell when Lorne loves him, like the way he loved Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm.
Lorne was obsessed with Kristen, right? I feel like he wasn't like obsessed with Pete in that way. It was, had to have been just like concern.
Yeah. And honestly, they've had so many deaths of SNL cast members from drugs and stuff.
So now in 2020, a rarest of rare events the other day when this A+ A-list actor who thought he was going to get an Oscar nomination this past year doing an event with this pair of comic actresses who are also A-list. The actresses and the actor have been in a forever long feud, but managed to set it aside for one night only. And that, of course, is Adam, Tina, and Amy. And they set it aside for the at-home edition of SNL. That's hilarious because they're not even in the same room.
I know. Don't forget, people seem to have forgotten that this A+ list, mostly movie actor, who had a turn through television this past weekend, dated a 16-year-old when he was nearly 30. Oh, and there was a 15-year-old who he was hooking up with as part of an acting role, but also kept up off screen, even though he was a decade older. So that's when Brad Pitt was hosting SNL, and it's a throwback to when he was dating Juliette Lewis and Shailene McCall.
Juliette Lewis and Brad were a wild moment.
Yeah.
Many years ago on this show, Saturday Night Live, that has started so many careers, this at the time writer, Bob Odenkirk, who was now more famous as an actor, and this more senior actor slash writer, Al Franken, who had another career, United States Senator from Minnesota, did not like each other. This culminated in an argument wherein the actor slash writer threw a mug at the writer who was now an actor. More recently, the actor slash writer ran into trouble in his new profession courtesy of a scandal, and his career has ended, at least for now. The writer, now actor, who currently plays an iconic character, Saul Goodman, that started on a very popular TV show, Breaking Bad, and has spun off into its own show, Better Call Saul, had mugs made with a photograph of the actor slash actor in an embarrassing position, a photo that has widely circulated. He gave them out to all the cast and crew of his show. That's hilarious. And I always forget that he was like a part of SNL. That's so funny.
This married, highly educated comic who spent time on that late night show loves to hook up with college students when he comes into their town. He searches for them on social media and then hits on them until one says yes. And that's John Mulaney, but they're referring to him being on Saturday Night Live. As you guys can see, we just grabbed whatever blinds at Saturday Night Live, but it's still fun because it's a little bit of everyone.
I forgot to tell you, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
This foreign-born former A-plus tweener is about to name names of those who abused him when he was underage. And these are going to be some big names. And that was in reference to Justin Bieber, I guess, around the time when he had performed on SNL.
Do you remember he was like crying? I believe he was really upset during it. And everyone thought that this was going to be the moment where he really talked about his abuse in Hollywood.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be the moment. I was like, this is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who's to say maybe he was, but like, you know, maybe he got silenced and wasn't able to.
Bill Hader did say Justin Bieber was his least favorite guest of all time.
Yeah.
But I think it was when he did his first, not this current one.
So did Chelsea Handler on her show.
Oh, yeah, Chelsea Handler hates Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
The showrunner has coveted this former A-plus list, mostly movie actor, for literally 3 decades. When he finally landed him, though, he thought it was going to be amazing, but he's been disappointed every step of the way. So that's Lorne Michaels finally having Jim Carrey on SNL to play Joe Biden. I actually don't like when they have actors come in to play like presidents and stuff. I don't know why. For some reason, it bugs me. It's not a cast member.
It doesn't bother me, but it does get old when they do, because then the person has to come back over and over and over and over and over. Unless it's like Larry David. I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
Larry is great. This former A-plus list mostly movie actor who was the highest paid actor in the world is leaving a trail of sexual harassment from the show that he is leaving. And that is Jim Carrey.
Well, Jim Carrey will get an episode and we're going to ruin Jim for you, everybody.
Yeah.
I said that with like a big smile. We are now in 2021. It's not an exaggeration that the original cast and crew of this long-running show everyone knows that has launched a million careers at the beginning had a contentious relationship with the network they were on. They were just becoming a sensation and the network was not ready for many of their ideas for the show, their behavior, and all that went along with it. This A-lister who created this show and is still associated with it arranged a lunch to cool tensions. A number of network brass were there as well as the cast members and important crew. During the lunch, a production assistant went looking for the now deceased A-plus list at the time, original cast member, who was known for being a bit out of control, and found him in the kitchen with his pants around his ankles, vigorously humping a cake that was to be served later. The cake was indeed served later to the unaware network people, although the A-plus cast member did warn most of the fellow cast members to not eat it. That's SNL, Lorne Michaels, and John Belushi.
The thing about boys' clubs... the thing about boys' clubs that people don't take into account is that it's not all about how you're getting, like, harassed and shit. Like, men are vile.
Right.
Like, it's that you have to deal with shit like that. It's like you have to walk into an office and walk past a piss and spit jar, but you can't talk about it because the boys don't want you to ruin the vibe. Get a fucking hold of yourselves, fellas. Enough.
So now we're in 2022, and this is something I found out during the rehearsal, allegedly found out. So apparently Chris Redd, who was on the show for a few seasons, was kicked off the show because Kenan Thompson's wife cheated with Chris Redd, and now she's dating him. And once those allegations came out, Chris was immediately fired from the show. And then there was another recent blind item saying Kenan Thompson is now dating like a freshman in college, allegedly.
That's crazy because they were like friends.
Yeah.
Like Chris Redd and Kenan always wrote sketches together. Damn, SNL's so messy.
Boys Club again, it's no good.
Yeah. And then this is the final blind. In 2022, this former late night actress turned A-list everything else behind the scenes is probably not going to get the job that she wants. After her deposition implicated a former boss in the big grooming scandal. And that's Tina Fey. Interesting.
Yeah. So now Tina Fey and Seth Meyers have also, if you guys don't know this, this is a trigger warning. Horatio Sanz is currently being accused of grooming a teenager. And it's said that Tracy Morgan saw it, Lorne Michaels saw it, Tina Fey, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Fallon. They've all allegedly seen this, witnessed it happen and didn't do anything to stop it. And Tina and Seth were just added to the case in August. So it hasn't like gone to trial or anything, but it seems like they're building a pretty solid case against SNL cast members who witnessed it. And it sounds like, from reading like on Reddit, that SNL cast members are known for hooking up with really, really young girls.
Mm-hmm. I've always heard like crazy rumors just about like the sex stuff that goes on and that like people will just be like fucking in the offices in the midst of writing, or like having like escorts and stuff come in, and like it's just crazy.
We will definitely do another SNL grab bag episode. I mean,
yeah.
It just sounds like such a dark energy, evil place.
Yeah. It's also crazy too when you think about it, because like SNL, if this happens and like everybody involved gets in trouble for knowing that this was going on, it would be a really big deal, obviously, because it's like major, but also like that never happens.
Right.
We always talk about how the people that turn a blind eye or help orchestrate stuff like that for people never get in trouble or implicated. Like they just distance themselves and don't talk about it anymore. So this is like crazy.
What do you think will happen? It seems like Horatio Sanz is fucked, honestly. After reading some articles, like he sent a bunch of text messages in 2019 apologizing to her, saying how remorseful he is, how sorry. I mean, there's like a paper trail of him admitting to doing it, allegedly admitting to doing it. I don't know the terms we should be using, but
right. I don't know what'll happen. I mean, you're right. He does seem fucked, but I wonder how like the people that are also involved, like what would happen to them if they knew he was like grooming a child?
I don't know. I don't know law.
I don't get it, but that's interesting. It's just interesting. It's like, it would be, this never, ever, ever happened. So it would just be really wild to see everybody have to be accountable for it and not just the person, even though all these people knew.
Right.
I guess we'll see.
Justice for that girl, though.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, this is our last episode of 2022.
This is wild. I can't believe it. It's crazy.
And thank you so much for listening. Troy and I do not take this for granted. For a second.
We are grossly, I've told you before that we are grossly obsessed with you.
It's creepily. True.
We don't want you to know how much, because it might scare you away.
I'm not a hugger, but I would hug everyone who listens. That's a big, Troy's only maybe gotten a hug or two from me.
That's true. And I'm a hug. If it is, it's because of me, because I'm a hugger. Yeah, I love hugging. I would hug all of you and lift you up off the ground.
Well, do you have any resolutions, Troy? Any resolutions for 2023? Do you have anything you want to leave in 2022?
I guess like it's so cliche to say this, but I really do want to like, I used to be able to blame my like not focus on health on my like working.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about doing this now is that it's like freed up a lot of like time in my life to focus on doing this. But like also I need to like focus on my health more too. I quit smoking.
Congratulations.
I know I didn't want to make it a big deal, but I quit smoking like before Thanksgiving and I haven't since. And yeah, so, you know, just little things, baby steps.
For me, I think I let people treat me a certain way. Certain people treat me a certain way that I shouldn't have put up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to leave that in 2022 and kind of stop being a little bitch for 2023.
Listen, baby steps. We're all making our way.
We're all growing up, guys.
Yeah, we're doing
no matter. Also, everyone, if you don't know, we've took our edibles for the stoner episode,
and they're hitting.
they're edible in, but we love you guys so much, and we hope you have a safe holidays, safe New Year. Don't drink and drive. Call an Uber.
And if you get any fun, like Beyond the Blinds centric gifts for Christmas,
yeah,
celebrity things, books or things like that, let us know. I just want to know if anybody gifts you who was it that we just found out started as a new perfume?
Ashley Benson.
If anybody gives you Ashley Benson's perfume, make sure to reach out.
But we love you guys so much. Thank you for making 2022 the best year that we could ever imagine.
Yes, we love you. And we will see you next year. Bye.
Bye.